And we'll start with Haiti. We'll start with Haiti. Haiti is in a really, 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 really rough spot. And we'll just start with that. Haiti is in a very unfavorable and unenviable position of essentially living in the middle of a gang revolution in their country. Like, it's the definition of when you're playing civilization and then barbarians spawn in your territory. That's what Haiti is dealing with, except there's so many barbarians that they can't even do anything. And you know how when you're playing civilization and you have that unhappiness modifier and it makes your troops that should be able to just stomp on the other guys just so weak and they can't do anything. It's like, okay, so I just have to sit here and watch as everything is burned to the ground because my military doesn't want to do his job. It's like, okay, and that's what is the best anecdote I can put to sort of visualize what's going down in Haiti. But replace barbarians with gangs and criminal elements, and replace you, the player, with the Haitian government. It's a mess. It's a mess. An absolute mess. And this is, you know, sort of just derivative of the chaos that's been engulfing Haiti for a while now, ever since the assassination of their former president. But as of now, the gangs, which I'll sort of back and forth refer to as a united front, because it's not just one gang, and it's not that they're all just different gangs doing different things. No, this is very much a coordinated effort. Right. And while it might just have CIA written all over it, given just how coordinated this is, we will refer to them as the United Front of Gangs, or the United Gang Front, because that's what it is. It's a United Front of Gangs. Now, whether or not the CIA is behind it, we'll probably find out shortly. But I'll digress. As of now, the gangs have seized control of 80% of the country's capital city, which is a really big deal, because, you know, that's where the decisions to sort of fight back against these people are going to be made. And so it's just how did I lose my capital to barbarians? That was not in the script. I'm sure that's what everyone in the Haitian government is saying. 80% of Port-au-Prince has been captured. That's the name of their capital city. Port-au-Prince has been captured by barbarians. And in this case, we might be able to call them barbarians. Apparently, some of them are cannibals. That's the stories coming out of this. Although, I'm hesitant to sort of, you know, fall into that, you know, because we just got through with the burn babies, and oh my God, look at the pictures, you know, back in Israel and Gaza, you're right. We just got through with that propaganda cycle, right? So I'm hesitant to go all in on believing such similarly insane stories, right? Although these ones might be true, right? Because not all skepticism is wise skepticism, right? So while these ones might be truer than the tomfoolery that we were told about Israel and Gaza and the savage barbarians and what they did to the Israelis, the poor little Israelis. But this is just me. Maybe you'll believe this. Maybe you've actually seen more evidence that would suggest that this is true from your own reputable sources. I'm just one guy. But me personally, given how these things tend to go with such extreme, you know, sort of accusations being levied against one side or another, I am hesitant to believe those at face value. Now, again, we could find out, well, I could find out, I won't just lump you in with me like that. I could find out later on that, oh my God, these people actually are cannibals, and they really are just sitting here eating human flesh to strike fear into the civilians, which is what some people are saying. That might be true. I just don't know. That's just an insane thing to even think about. Like, cannibalism to strike fear into regular people. Like, the logic is there, right? If you were trying to be as brutal as possible, the logic of doing that is there. It's just, is that something a normal human person, even from the perspective of a gang, is that something that a normal gang person, gang-affiliated person would do? I don't think so. But perhaps these guys are just like that. So I'll put that out there, right? I'm not entirely sure of this, but this is the reporting. So you can sort of look around and see if you find evidence to corroborate this or evidence that sort of disproves this. But this is what's being said, and it's such a wild claim that if true, I'd be not doing my job to not inform you about it. And if not true, well, shoot. I didn't look. It's just so crazy. Like, how often do we come across cannibalism accusations? It's just... Let me move on. Because I've just gone off on a tangent about the cannibalism here. Because apparently one such cannibal, whose nickname is Barbecue, which is a seemingly innocent name until you realize it's associated with that cannibalism. Apparently he is now the guy in charge of the gang, the specific gang that has, you know, gained the most power in the midst of this power vacuum that is being filled by gangs and the criminal underworld, which is increasingly now the criminal overworld. Apparently Barbecue is now the most powerful man in Haiti. If this is true, Haiti is in a... Haiti might be fucked. Haiti might just have to throw in the towel, guys. Hey, they might just have to log off. Haiti might just have to log off, guys. If all this is true, they... Look, if I'm playing that, I'm logging off. I'm logging off. I'm picking a different country. I'm restarting the save file. Look, I'm not dealing with... That's... Like, my God, if this is true. My God. And what more can you say but to pray to God for these people? Goodness gracious. But these gangs, this united front of gangs, have been moving like an organized military force. And that's what, you know, puts into my mind that maybe this isn't them acting independently, but maybe this is some sort of outside orchestration. I just can't put my finger on any three-letter agency or group of people that could possibly be responsible for something like that. I just, maybe you guys can think of it. EIO? EIO? Is that what it is? Something like that. But they've been moving like a really organized military force, and that's what, you know, sets off the alarm bells in my mind that this might not actually be organic as much as it might be very much synthetic and controlled. Because these guys have been acting really smart. Like, for criminals, you gotta give them credit. If they don't get caught for a long period of time, that takes smarts. But for out in the open activity like this, this is what you'd expect from an invading army, right? They have seized 80% of the control of the country's capital. Not like some region out in the countryside. Not that there's much countryside in Haiti to begin with. But 80% of the capital in a very short period of time. All right, they've taken over Haiti's main port, right, where most of their trade and commerce happens from. They've all but taken over the capital, decapitating the leadership capacity of the country, taken over the main port. Now they hold the economy hostage, effectively, and not even just the main seaport, because that's a seaport, but they've also seized multiple police stations, so they've armed themselves now. Because police stations are known for having guns and riot shields and batons and radios, bulletproof vests, combat equipment, helmets. Like, they, like, again, this is the type of thing that you'd expect from an invading army. They've now seized military-grade equipment from these police stations. You know, very basic infantry equipment, not like heavy artillery, heavy guns, you know, rocket launchers, but good enough to outperform a standard infantry unit with good enough, with proper leadership. They can outperform these guys, and they're going to have all the weapons and equipment that they need to behave like a standing army in the face of another standing army, if you catch my drift. Because it's one thing to move like a standing army when it's just you and your boys with a couple of guns. It's another thing to do that in the when faced with another proper professional military force. Because eventually the Haitian military is going to respond. Whether or not that response is going to be very effective, it remains to be seen. But these guys aren't done yet. 80% of the country's capital city, the main seaport captured, a multitude of police stations across the country and across this capital city taken, which means all those armaments and arms and ammunition, don't forget the ammunition, have all been seized. So that this is ranging from blanks to real bullets to higher caliber bullets to shotguns to potentially incendiaries. You know, lots of crowd control measures, smoke grenades, flashbangs, a lot of military equipment has now fallen into the hands of these gangs in the blink of an eye. And they're not done, because they've also successfully carried out at least two jailbreaks, at least two to my knowledge, and these are two of the largest prisons in Haiti that they've performed these jailbreaks on, freeing thousands of criminals, including former gang members and gang leaders who were arrested and put in the jail. So now all that hard work has gone down the drain. You've essentially added more gangs to the streets and bolstered the ranks of this unified gang front. Because what are these gang members going to do? They're fresh out of jail. They're going to go right back to the gang that they came from. And the gangs that they came from are working in tandem with one another to orchestrate this chaos and this armed takeover of a whole country. And it remains to be seen, at least in my view, if this chaos spills over into the Dominican Republic. Because Haiti isn't alone. They're on the same island as the Dominican Republic. Santo Domingo is what I believe the name of the island is, Santo Domingo. They're there together, right? And there's a land border between Haiti and the Dominican Republic. So if this goes wrong, and Haiti cannot be pulled out of this tailspin, the fact that they have a land border with the Dominican Republic might cause an international incident at some point in time. If these gangs operate like regular criminals do, and they start trying to expand territory, they're eventually going to start trying to expand territory into the DR. And that's going to cause an international crisis. And to an extent, this chaos in Haiti already is an international crisis. I mean, we're watching the fall of a whole government to not just revolutionaries, but to the criminal underworld. This is the type of thing you would hear about in history books when, say, like a mercenary group who wasn't paid just tried to take over a country, or when, something like that. I don't know if we have modern, like this has happened very recently in modern history, which makes it very peculiar. And these guys, after freeing thousands of criminals, including their other gang members and other gang leaders, so now they have more leadership capacity, more generals for this new criminal nation that's rising up in Haiti. And again, allegedly, one of the gang leaders, I'm not sure if he's one that was released from prison or if he was just out there before, that is Barbecue, the cannibal. Whether that's true or not, we'll have to wait and see. But the Gang United Front has also begun trying to take control of the major airports in Haiti. And there have been major shootouts in a lot of the airports in the country, which has caused a shutdown of international flights into and out of Haiti. This is, again, this is what you'd expect from an invading army. Get in, decapitate the government, shut down the ports of entry, take control of the airstrips, and now you're the legitimate authority. You're the legitimate authority now. Everything that gets in and out has to go through you. And I said that much with, you know, the Taliban. Back when they were doing their offensive to take control of the rest of Afghanistan, and they were taking control of all the border towns, all the routes in and out, the checkpoints, right? They were taking control of all these checkpoints along the border where people and goods would flow into and out of the country. And I'm like, well, if they have control over who can and can't come into this country, then they are the de facto government of that country. And so what's happening here in Haiti is something similar to that, obviously in the context of a country that is partially an island. But I'll digress. This is a invading army activity. This isn't your average gang, right? We're not dealing with your average gang warrior anymore. This is the legendary super criminal. And I just have a really hard time believing that all these gangs who were previously in contention with one another over who controlled what block in the city, I just have a really hard time believing that now all of a sudden they have a united front and they're so organized and acting like such a well-oiled machine, right? That they've crippled the actual government of this country, however corrupt it may have been. I just have a really hard time believing that. And that there's not anywhere, to the extent that there is obviously going to be infighting in this, the fact that it hasn't crippled them, the fact that they're able to just flow on like a river, in spite of whatever infighting is happening in the background, I just don't believe that happened organically. I just don't believe that. I believe that the CIA has something to do with it. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's just me being overly suspicious of my own government. But I mean, what does it sound like to you? Does that sound like usual criminal activity? It definitely doesn't to me. Like, there's just such an air of suspicion emanating from this whole situation that I cannot shake off. How exactly did the criminal underworld, one, unite? All right, how did they unite to begin with? Two, how did they stay united now that they're gaining control, gaining territory, gaining resources, gaining weapons, military-grade weapons, and they've jailbroken all of their buddies and all their leaders? How are they sticking together? What's keeping them together? What got them together? What's keeping them together? Who is the supreme allied commander, so to speak, of this united front of gangs? And how did he keep these disparate groups who, remember, were fighting each other over these very same city blocks that they're now conquering all together? How did this happen? Who orchestrated this? How are they? Are they being paid? Are they being compensated in some way? If so, how? What's the glue keeping these otherwise conflicting forces together? Do they just hate the government that much? I mean, I suppose he is the former president now. His name is Ariel Henry, right? Ariel Henry, he has fled the country, and he's been in the U.S., the American territory of Puerto Rico nearby. It's like an island or two over. He's been chilling out in Puerto Rico this entire time, and because international flights in and out of this country have been shut down, and because the gangs controlled the major ports into the country, plus he doesn't want to go back. He's not going back anytime soon. And quite frankly, I don't think he can, even if he did want to, which he doesn't, without a military escort in. So the entire government in Haiti's been decapitated. Almost I would say almost literally. I mean, if it's true that these guys are cannibals that they're dealing with, some of them might be getting eaten alive as we speak. But the president is outside the country. 80% of the capital city is being seized by the people that Haiti would otherwise have to fight. And all the routes in and out of the country, almost all of them, have been taken control of by the gangs. I don't know what this guy could do even if we did send him back in. It just seems like, at this point, sending Louis the 16th back into revolutionary France, hoping that he can get a hold of the situation. Now, granted, it's not like the gangs have too much popular support. Granted, a lot of people didn't like the corruption of the old government. I just don't know if that sentiment was sort of strong enough to translate into overt support for the gangs. Now, maybe that is the case, in which case, that might actually explain how all these gangs came together and how they're working so well together. At least it would partially explain that. They'd have a common enemy and a common base of support. So that I'll just throw that out there. That might be a possibility that these gangs, similar to the military coups that happened in a number of African nations last summer, these gangs, they might have popular support. And this coup that they're orchestrating against the government might itself also be a popular coup. I'll just throw that out there. We don't know, because a lot of people are actually afraid of these gangs. So we don't know. And plus, while I live in America, and we're not that far away, Haiti's just not that on the radar. Right? You usually don't get too much trouble out of Haiti unless there's a natural disaster, in which case we're always there to help them. But I really just don't know. But I'll throw that out there as a possibility. If I'm going to throw out the possibility of the CIA being behind this, I may as well throw out the possibility that it could actually be organic. And that might be a way for it to be. But the president can't even get back into this country. He just can't. And even if he did, he'd probably die a horrible death. I don't know what he could do to salvage this situation by himself. And I talked about how the gangs, they might just hate the government that much. Well, one of the demands that the gangs have made, this united front that they've made, is that he resigns. Ariel Henry, they want him to resign. That might be legitimate, or it might be a sort of completion of the decapitation of the Haitian government. I know there was a lot of shun there, but sort of follow along with me. If they get him to resign, then that means you have a succession crisis. You now have a power struggle in the Haitian government in the middle of what is essentially a wartime scenario where the capital itself, you know, where the people who would otherwise find a replacement or appoint a replacement for the president, you know, where they would make that decision, they themselves are under duress. So if the head of state resigns right now, then there's not going to be a head of state, and not one put in place by the current government. Instead, it would be a de facto head of state put in place by the gangs, the United Front of Gangs. Because whatever the official government has to say at this point only matters on paper. Because in practice, the reality on the streets in Haiti is that the gangs are in control. So if the head of state steps down, that is essentially a completion of this coup by the gangs. Because no other head of state is going to be able to come up to power through the legitimate government. It would complete the hostile takeover of the country. That's my speculation here. And that might be the main reason why they're saying that this guy should step down. We want him to resign. We're demanding that he resign. Well, if he resigns, then there's no one to take his place except for the gangs. So that might be why they're asking for him to resign, or they just don't like him. I'd find it odd. They would demand that he resign, but not the rest of the parliament. But I'll digress. Now, in light of all this chaos, our Marines, the U.S. Marines, have evacuated some of our embassy staff from the country. All but the essential workers are at the embassy. So the people who actually have a real job are still at the embassy, and the people with the bureaucrats who push paper, they've been pulled out of the country because they're essentially a liability at this point. So that's happened. But what's also begun to happen is that there's talk of a UN intervention into the country. One that would be led by Kenya, and one that has been proposed by El Salvador, where they have proposed under Bukele, because he's proposed to go in and try to help fix this in Haiti, but he says that he would need the approval of the UN to do that. So there's two intervention proposals here. One that would be led by Kenya, and one that would be led by El Salvador. So let's start with the Kenya intervention. We should oppose that one. We should, not because they're African, not because we're racist. I'll just throw that out there, you know. I don't think any of you think that way, but, you know, just in case, you know, there's all that one guy in the back. We should oppose the one led by Kenya. And why should we oppose that? On the account of the Monroe Doctrine. Because the long-term consequence of allowing a foreign intervention into our hemisphere, into Haiti, would set the precedent for future interventions into our hemisphere by nations outside of our hemisphere. Interventions into our sphere of influence, which, given where America is in the world, the only way you could legitimately threaten the security of the United States is if you had a foothold in the Western Hemisphere, North or South America. That's the only way that you can legitimately pose a conventional military threat to the United States. That's the only way, right? Nuclear powers, if they have an ICBM, they technically can pose a threat to the United States whenever they want. But most people aren't dumb enough to use those weapons. Even the Kims aren't that slow. We'll see what Israel does when they start losing. But alas, if you want to pose a legitimate military threat to the United States, you can't do that without first having a foothold in our hemisphere. So to allow a country who is outside of that hemisphere, Kenya, to use the UN or any other international body as a mechanism for garnering an international coalition of all things to then send troops into our hemisphere, that would set a terrible precedent. Because right now it's Kenya. In the future, it could be some other country. It could be another great power. Talking about we need to send troops in to intervene in this crisis over there in the Americas. Right? And we would not be comfortable with that at all. And it would actually be a legitimate military danger to ourselves, regardless of what the intentions of those countries were. We cannot allow countries outside of our hemisphere to start deploying troops into our hemisphere, even for humanitarian reasons. The precedent that would set is too dangerous for our country for us to allow. And that's just the way it is. We cannot allow that to happen. We cannot allow that precedent to be set to where you can just say, look, there's a crisis over there. We're gonna get a gang of countries together, and we're gonna go in. It's like whoa. No. If that means that the crisis gets worse, we have to own up to that. That's literally would be our fault. But our national security has to be put first. Now, so that's the Kenya intervention. That's why I'm opposed to the Kenya intervention. Now, if there's going to be an intervention at all, and it might get bad enough to where there probably has to be. Either we do it, right? Or we allow a country in our hemisphere to do it themselves. And in comes Nayib Bukele of El Salvador. He has also proposed an intervention of his own, where he would obviously spread his expertise to work on behest of the Haitian people, What is that expertise? That expertise in destroying the criminal underworld and locking them up for 1,000,000 years in super prisons. He could do the same for Haiti, potentially. He doesn't want to do it without a UN backing. But quite frankly, we could back him up unilaterally if we wanted to. But if, say, we got a number of other countries in the Americas to co-sign on this, and then we let him and those countries in our hemisphere handle the intervention, that would be preferable. That would be preferable. And you know, going back to why we can't let Kenya lead an intervention here, there is an obvious hypocrisy of that. You know, when we step outside of, you know, I'm consistent in this position, but when you step back and you look at America actually took this course of action, it would look like hypocrisy, because we intervene in everyone else's region. We stick our nose in everyone else's business. So then to turn around and say that no one's allowed to stick their nose over here, that would be hypocrisy. But it's a necessary hypocrisy, and it's not a bad thing because we're saying that you shouldn't be over here. It's a bad thing because we are always over there in other people's business, and we shouldn't be doing that. But I digress. That obvious hypocrisy of us saying that aside, that's just not something we need to allow to happen. If there's going to be an intervention into Haiti, it should be led by a country in our hemisphere. And for a number of reasons, it is also preferable that that nation not be ourselves. Why not El Salvador? I mean, it keeps us from going into Haiti, so that's America first. It keeps other countries outside of our hemisphere from going in, that's America first. And quite frankly, our neighbors don't really trust us all that much. So you would actually bypass the trust issue if we allow a third nation to do this. You know, because to the extent that they may or may not trust each other, all of our neighbors can agree that they don't trust us. And quite frankly, we need to not be meddling in their affairs anyway. And although that gets a bit complicated when you have a crisis like what we're seeing in Haiti, if we instead allow for, say, El Salvador to do this, that would set a new precedent where third countries in the Americas were handle crises inside of the Americas. Instead of having America be the unilateral power, we sort of be a broker of sorts, where we step back and just keep the outside world out and enable and facilitate our neighbors in our neighborhood to work together, almost like a neighborhood watch, except we being the big dog and the scary power that everyone's afraid of, you know, we'll step back until they're willing to trust us. You know, we just have to step back and let that happen. You know, am I being a bit hopeful on this? Perhaps I am, but I think it'd be preferable to allowing the precedent of a country outside of our hemisphere to organize an intervention inside of our atmosphere. And that's just the real politique of it. That's just not good for our country. Now, that's all I have on Haiti. The situation is developing. We'll keep our eye on it as it develops. I'm sure there's going to be a good deal more talk about it as the days and weeks go on. But for now, that's the situation. So we'll leave that there.